Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. From Luke chapter 10, verses 36 and 37. It's good to get back to basics. And for our Sunday school classes and worship services this fall, we are going to get back to the one of the most basic of the basics commanded by the Lord, loving our neighbor. In traditional church language, this is called charity. But charity means so much more than giving money to the poor and volunteering time to help those in need. It is not just something we do with our spare money and our spare time. Charity, rather, is a way of life. Charity is expressed, or not, in everything we think and feel, in everything that we say and do. Today, as an introduction to this fall series, we will take a very brief tour of one of the answers given in our church's teachings to the question that the lawyer asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Now, one answer to this question, which isn't the one we're going to explore during the year, although it's central to it, is contained within the parable of the Good Samaritan itself, if we read it carefully. It sounds, when we first read the parable, as if Jesus did not answer the man's question. He said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus proceeded to tell a parable about being a neighbor. So, did he really answer the question? But if we look at it more deeply, we find that Jesus did, in fact, answer the question that the man was asking, but at a deeper level than he was probably bargaining for. Swedenborg writes in The Heavenly City, number 88, goodness is our neighbor in the broadest sense, since people are our neighbor according to the kind of good qualities they have from the Lord. And since goodness is our neighbor, love is our neighbor, because all goodness comes from love. So people are our neighbor according to the kind of love they have from the Lord. So the Lord did answer the man's question in the parable, but he was answering it at a deeper and more spiritual level. It was the goodness of the Samaritan that was the neighbor. That was the answer to the man's question. The goodness that we see in others is the neighbor that we are to love. Now the practical meaning of this is that in loving our neighbors and doing good for them, we are to help strengthen what is good in them, and on the other hand, work against and weaken what is not good in them. This means helping them on their good points and trying to separate them from their bad habits and issues, in, of course, a respectful way. The refrain from a classic song made popular by Bing Crosby expresses it well, and reading the words just doesn't do it justice. And I must warn you that I heard a little more jazzy version as I was growing up. And so you're going to have to imagine a jazz beat in the background here. You've got to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. You've got to spread joy up to the maximum and bring gloom down to the minimum and have faith. 'Cause pandemonium's liable to walk up on the scene. There we go. I love that song. So if our words and actions towards others help to accentuate the positive in them and to eliminate the negative in them, then we are really loving our neighbor. But this is nowhere near a full answer to that question of who is my neighbor. Another answer, and the one that we will be exploring this fall in our series, is the answer that was given in our reading from the Heavenly City on levels of the neighbor. Here is the gist of it once again. Swedenborg writes, it is not just individual people who are our neighbor, but also groups of people such as small and large communities, our country, religion, the Lord's realm, and most of all, the Lord himself. All of these are our neighbor. So we should do good things for them out of love. Now, living as we do in a rather individualistic society, we tend to think of individual people when we hear the word neighbor. In common language, neighbor in our language means those living next door to us, and those are individual people. But as Swedenborg points out, the word neighbor has broader and broader meanings as we move from the individual to the community, the country, and even in these days to the world. The world has really become one community in these days of high speed and distant communications. And the word neighbor has both broader and deeper meanings as we move from civil society, from human society, to spiritual society, to people's religious faith, and to the Lord's kingdom throughout the earth, which we as Swedenborgians believe. We believe that the Lord's kingdom is not just among Christians, but rather extends to all people of every religion who love God and who seek to do God's will as they understand it. God's presence is in all people and all things throughout the world, and that especially is our neighbor, the Lord himself, and his presence in all people throughout the world. That is the neighbor that we are to love. Now, what does this teaching mean, and what does it do for us? It means that if we are loving and serving the people around us, that is good. But it is only the beginning of living a truly charitable life. This teaching calls us to move beyond those immediate neighbors, beyond the people right next to us, beyond the people that we work with every day, and extend our love and charity to those more distant from us, to people we may not know, and to people we may not even appreciate at all. If we think about it, this idea is contained right in the parable itself. It's amazing how when you look into these parables, more and more meanings begin to come out. As has been pointed out many times, the Samaritans were considered anything but neighbors by the largely Jewish audience that heard Jesus speak the parable. The Samaritans were hated and despised foreigners, people to be scorned, not people to be loved. And Jesus taught this highly resistant crowd that even those outcast foreigners can both love and be loved. The parable itself pushes us to make the boundaries of our charity wider than our family and our friends, our co-workers, and our customers, and those in the communities right around us. It pushes us to expand our idea into other nations and other faiths. Because also at the core of the disharmony between the Jews and the Samaritans were differences in faith that we don't need to go into now, but suffice it to say that they were really brothers and sisters of one another, but they'd gone in different directions. And now this difference in religious views had made a rift between them. And so the parable has great parallels to what we also experience in our world today. In today's geopolitical environment, this would mean that as Americans, Jesus is commanding us to love the Iraqis and see the good in us, to love the Iranians and see the good in them, to love the North Koreans and see the good in them. Jesus is commanding us to think of them as our neighbor and to seek ways to do good for them, just as the Samaritan in the parable did good for the man who fell into the hands of robbers, even though we would naturally think that this was a Jewish man because Jesus was speaking to a primarily Jewish audience. Here was a Samaritan doing good to somebody from a group that despised and rejected his people. And this is also contained within the parable. So both the Bible and the teachings of our church call us to broaden our concept of the neighbor, to broaden the boundaries of our hearts to these higher and deeper and broader levels of the neighbor. If we have learned to love our individual neighbor, the people right around us, perhaps it is time to start thinking about our community, our town, and its good. Perhaps it is time to put some of our knowledge and skills to work, making our community a better place to live. And there are so many opportunities to do that. If we have done some of that, if we've gotten out into our community and donated our time and efforts and skills to the community, perhaps it is time for us to broaden our thoughts even farther to our nation. How can I put my particular skills and knowledge, my loves and desires to work for this whole nation? What can I do that would affect and help the people of this country? And there are many who do that as well. If our thinking and our loyalty already extends to the nation, then perhaps it's time to stretch our heads and our hearts still further to the church and to the Lord's kingdom throughout the world, to people of all the faiths everywhere, even to those religions we don't particularly understand and appreciate. What can we do to serve those whose beliefs and lives are very different from our own? And I believe that we as Swedenborgians have a special role to play in this because of our view that all of the religions of the world, the Christian and the non-Christian, are part of God's kingdom. That we could, as a church, be a force helping to bring together people of different religions and different faiths, not only locally, but nationally and internationally, that we could have a special role. And the fact is that we have had a special role in the past, being key players in the 1893 Parliament of World Religions that took place in Chicago and brought many different religions together and brought new understanding as really a beginning of the modern interfaith movement. So we already have this in our history, and it's something that I believe we should build on and continue to work on as Swedenborgians to help bring together people of different faiths and different nationalities, appreciating our differences and making them work together for God's purposes. And of course, the highest meaning of loving our neighbor is to love the Lord above all and to seek out and cherish the Lord's presence everywhere we can find it. This means looking for the good and the truth in everyone around us at all levels. It means bringing out the best in our own children and grandchildren. And it also means seeing and bringing out the best in those we may think of as our enemies in the world. Underneath all of this, of course, is Jesus' commandment to love our enemies. And we can do this not by loving the wrong that they do, but by rather seeing that they too have good in them. They too love. They too understand some part of the truth, just as we do. And we can find that in them and help to bring that out, just as Bing Crosby told us that we ought to do. So who is my neighbor, as the lawyer asked? Our neighbor is everyone and everything throughout the world, because if we are willing to open our eyes to greater spiritual heights, we will find that there is good in every person, in every nation, and in every religion, and that we ourselves can be a part of serving those of all types, of all faiths, all communities, all religions, every nation of the world. We can be a center of charity, of bringing the Lord's love to all of our neighbors in both the small and the large sense. And this is what we'll be exploring and putting into practical deeds during this fall church season. Amen.